I got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Take it easy.
Harmonize okay. with me.
Slow ride.
Nice.
Take it easy.
Oh, we got it going on today. Hundreds of text messages. And I know the texting is cheap, but hundreds of people have pledged at least $100 to my gubernatorial campaign.
Now, they would qualify.
One person asked a very interesting question. Dory, if you run, will Ursula vote for you?
Possibly. I don't share my votes.
If he's running against Ferguson?
I'm going to tell you what.
No, I'm running against.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't share my I never share my political beliefs, even though people will assume certain things.
Neither do I.
Yeah, sure.
But people assume things about me too. Me versus Inslee?
Couldn't
definitively say.
No. Okay, you're a hypocrite, Dory, because when I asked you, I said I might, and then when I asked you, would you vote for me? You said no.
Yeah, how am I a hypocrite? I gave an answer.
Yeah, there you go. So why are you questioning when I said maybe?
because I think your answer is the same as mine.
That's not true.
Really? I didn't
have a
chance?
That's not true.
I can win your vote?
Absolutely.
I can win your vote?
Absolutely, because sometimes I vote purely on character and whether I think the person is a good person, and I think you're a good person.
I think you're a good person.
There you go.
That doesn't always drive my vote. let's see here. I got so many things I got to get to that, you know, it's the end of the week. Oh, where's the mailbag? I got the Friday feedback. We got some really good feedback from the listeners, from Mark in University Place. Dory, I really enjoy your Seahawks pregame and postgame shows. I like the whole crew, Paul, Dave, Ray, and the others. Others being Michael Bumpus, Jordan Babineau. I also enjoyed way back when you and Steve Kelly hosted a sports show. Yeah, that was my first ever radio show. Last Friday, I was shopping at the, I don't know how to pronounce the name of the store, on Pike, when two men entered the store, grabbed a bunch of expensive jackets, and ran out of the store into a waiting car. This was a well-planned robbery by the two thieves and two people waiting in the car. It was very unnerving. I don't travel to Seattle very often, and I'll be traveling there even less now. I can't believe how many people have flooded into Seattle. It was very sad seeing tents on the streets and people on the streets with untreated mental health problems. Yeah, and that's Jay Inslee. He has let Western State is out of federal compliance to get federal funds. Because of the horrible mismanagement and lack of attention. That's on the governor. We have a picture up on my blog on mynorthwest.com. There was a community center that had a sign for where the birthday parties were, where the there was a class reunion and a couple other things. And then at the very bottom, Inslee campaign, banquet hall. Blaine via Facebook said, unlike Inslee, those birthdays will be back next year. Archie in Silverdale, it's like coming in second place with only two contestants entered. Dale and Pasco, the kid probably had more in attendance and more fun, too. That's true. And then using one of Jay Inslee's favorite lines on My Northwest of Jay Inslee's campaign, this must be what a two-car funeral looks like. And then, finally, Dory, your diatribe about climate change was way off today. While the weather in our region has been slightly cooler than the 50-year average, the worldwide temperatures in July blew past the previous record. To think humans don't cause climate change is very close-minded. I've never said that. Okay, I'll read the rest of the letter. Remember L.A. in the 70s, Lake Washington in the 60s? Yes, we put that much pollution into the atmosphere. The warm-up of the Earth is the fastest ever, with the exception of early volcanic activity and meteorological events. I never said man doesn't play a role. Man plays some role. I've said that it's exaggerated by about a factor of a million, because there are trillions of dollars at stake. And I also know that 30 years ago, Time magazine had a cover story about the coming global cooling. And then that didn't happen. And then it's shifted to global warming. And then that slowed down. Then it became climate change. And it's one scam after another. Look at Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth movie. I hope it's on the fiction shelves, or on fiction section in the streaming services. And anyway, lots of great feedback. Appreciate it all. I'll give you one more. Rod in Victoria. Love your show. I listen to you here on Vancouver Island. My nephew and his wife are both sergeants with the Washington State Patrol. I appreciate your appreciation for law enforcement in general, and absolutely share your sentiments. Our family is four generations of police officers, and I can't think of a worse time to be a cop, especially in Washington, than right now. Such a spineless government, city and state, is in power right now, with no end in sight. The pendulum is so far to the left, it's maddening. I commend you for the ability to uncover the truth of what's going on, the willingness to do this day after day. So a huge thank you. Keep fighting the good fight. Yeah, cops, if I'm governor, cops will get the respect they deserve in this state. Instead of the, what we got is, you got leftist politicians who, to appease their base, have characterized cops as the enemy. I mean, it's freakish that they characterize the cops as the enemy so that they can appease their Marxist wing of their party, which also hates cops. Marxism hates cops. They want their own type of police force where criminals can roam free, which, by the way, is what's happening here now in King County. See, everything I say is going to sound like a stump speech instead of a talk show. Okay, before I get to the big lead, got a couple other things here. Michigan State University, a mandatory training session for Michigan State student employees on campus, has instructed them to no longer use the phrases, "I apologize," "no problem," "sir," or "ma'am." Those are all trigger words, they tell the kids. Trigger words. They said that if you grew up, and somebody was able to record this seminar that they had for mandatory for students, they said, how many of you grew up being taught to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am? And a bunch of kids raised their hands. And by the way, when I hear somebody address adults as sir and ma'am, there's a likelihood that those kids have really solid parents. And a bunch of kids raised their hands. Yeah, I was taught to say no, sir, no, ma'am. Well, it turns out the person you're saying that to may be offended by gender stereotypes. So you're not supposed to any longer address adult men as sir and adult women as ma'am, because it might trigger them. You know what? If it triggers somebody, that's their problem. It's like you're radio. There's somebody who used to work here long ago. And one day this person sneezed in the newsroom. And I happened to be walking by right as they sneezed. And I said, God bless you. And they said, I'm an atheist. I'm saying they because I don't want to even tip off who it was in any way, because I like this person. I'm an atheist. Kind of like, don't you say God bless me to you or to me? I'm not going to change. A lot of people just say bless you because they're afraid to say God anywhere. God's become wrong. Well, who else is going to bless you? A blessing is generally associated with something divine. I'm not going to excise just to appease weak people who can't handle hearing a three-letter word. I'm not going to excise that. If I'm going to say something, I'm going to just say, God bless you. If they say thanks, or if they don't respond at all, that's on them. But, you know, snapping at me, I'm an atheist. I am not going to let people change the way I speak. I am not going to let leftists ever change the way I speak. And government sure as heck is never going to impact how I speak. They're not allowed to. Here's one more for you. Along these same lines, a single father in Canada, he's got two boys, 5 and 8 years old. He wanted to get a babysitter because he was going to have dinner with a friend one night, a few weeks ago. And he went on a very popular babysitter site in Canada called Kijiji. And one person responded to this guy's inquiry for a babysitter. His CPR skills, first aid, a clean criminal record, 7 years of caring for children. The dad asked for age and gender. The applicant, James Krynowski, said, I'm male and 28 years old. Well, the dad's dinner plans fell through, so he didn't need a babysitter, so he didn't respond to this guy. Well, the babysitter has now filed a human rights complaint against the dad, saying he was discriminated against because of his gender. That's not even the reason the dad canceled this thing. And by the way, parents have the right. If you got two boys and you don't want a man babysitting your kids, you should be free as a parent to decide that. But instead, the government and this Human Rights Commission is going after the dad now. This is what happens when we transfer our sovereignty and our control over our own lives to other forces. And I don't mean just entities. I mean forces. Government, media. Why in the world are so many people so weak that they transfer control of their lives to entities that couldn't care less about you other than being able to control you? It's insane. And in the midst of all of my rant, we have a caller on the line. State Rep Drew McEwen is one of the people asking Jay Inslee to give back his money from his presidential campaign for repaying the taxpayers of our state for his state patrol security detail. Drew McEwen, representative, joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, representative, good to talk to you.
Likewise, Dory, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm really good. Okay, so Jay Inslee's got a little over $1 million, as close as we can tell, in his presidential campaign coffers, and he made it very clear yesterday he's not going to return that to the taxpayers of our state. What do you say to all this?
Well, I think it's pretty disingenuous. There was never any polling that showed that he had a legitimate shot at this. I think he did it to raise his national profile, which is certainly his right to do. And yes, as a state, we are responsible for his security. I don't have any issue with that whatsoever. But he did, frankly, a vanity run that I believe was really to raise his profile, to increase his donor base, to really seek a third term and or a cabinet position should his party capture the presidency in 2020. And I believe that was his intent all along. And to bill the taxpayers of this state for the cost overruns of his security detail, is disingenuous at best. And he has the ability, he could take the money from his federal campaign account. And even if it's not enough, just the gesture of, hey, I recognize that this was an overrun. We're going to repay as much as we can with what we have left. I recognize it probably wouldn't be the full amount, but it would be a good gesture. And I think we could probably call it good and move on. But his insistence that he's not, I think really goes to the core of the purpose of his race, and that was to raise his profile, to get a third term, and then to seek a cabinet post if his party gets the presidency. Well, and he can transfer those federal dollars, he can transfer into his state gubernatorial run. And when he does that, and I'm pretty sure he will, I think then that answer is going to be so clear. But he's being, I think, disingenuous at best.
Yeah,
right now.
Well, obviously he is. But he kept saying yesterday, the law is the law, and I think the law is a good thing. And the law says the State Patrol provides security. I found it very interesting because we have federal laws that they are sworn to abide by, and he violates them with sanctuary state policies. We've got toll lanes on 405 that are clearly illegal, but his attorney general had to torture the language to continue to railroad the people for that. We have a death penalty in this state. That's the state law. And I think there are legitimate arguments against the death penalty, but he decides he's not going to enforce that law. It's interesting to me that the one law that seems inviolable is the one that he can personally profit from.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and you're spot on with the immigration issue and, you know, and his defiance of federal law, along with the attorney general. You don't get to pick and choose which ones you follow and don't follow. If he wants to follow everything to the T, then do it. But that is not – he'll only follow what suits him and what's best for him and best for his political motives. And,
yep, I agree.
And that leaves the taxpayers of this state hanging with the bill.
Okay, really quick. We only have about a minute here. Who can beat Jay Inslee for governor in 2020?
I mean, you're going to see some others coming up here in the near future, and I don't want to that's their right to announce when they're ready to. But I think I do know that you got a few others that are coming up. And I think we're going to see a very competitive race. I do think the governor is vulnerable with his mental health failures, his failures to stand by his campaign promises over two cycles that he would never raise taxes, but yet every budget he's proposed has raised taxes.
Sure.
Now the homelessness crisis, the opioid crisis, and now this. You're going to see some more people getting into that race, and I do believe the governor is vulnerable.
Okay.
And,
I think you and I both know, however, there's only one person who truly can beat him, right? We both know that. And that person is me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I look forward to being at your kickoff.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll follow me on Twitter, and I'll let you know. Okay. All right. Thank you, Representative, guys. Appreciate you coming on with me today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Drew McEwen joining us live. Speaking of Twitter, you know, I was looking at Twitter today, at Dori Monson, DoriMonson. Nicole, what does it take to get a blue check mark? This is getting annoying.
I'm kind of annoyed by it, too. I've really been struggling with this.
What does it take?
Supposedly, they put this, you know, freeze on verified accounts, so they won't verify any new accounts. But we all know that there's been people that have been verified in the last year. I don't know why I can't get you verified.
It's
very frustrating to me.
I've got 7,600 followers on my personal account. I have 9,400. I have 17,000 followers between the personal and the show account, and that doesn't get me a blue check mark. 17,000. You know what? If I'm governor, I'm going to talk to Jack at Twitter. Because I'll have access then. He'll have to pick up the phone when the governor of Washington calls. Get verified. Okay, wait, I didn't do a big lead. That was the big lead. That is your big lead. Ursula's going to check the news. And then, on a Friday, we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the week. Coming up next. Deadmau5 always puts me in my happy place.
It does feel Vegas-y.
It's very Vegas-y.
Warm day at the pool.
Yeah.
After gambling all night.
By the way, this summer has been a bust. This is a bust. This weather's not good enough.
Yeah. I know some people just love it and say this is a typical Northwest summer.
Yeah, they're wrong. When I'm governor, our summers are going to be hot again. Okay?
90s all the way.
Yes, we'll be in the 90s. Because I will destroy any attempts at climate change reform. We're going to be toasty. But I got to get snow in the winters, too. How am I going to do that? I'm going to make it hot in the summers and snowy in the winters. I'm going to seed the clouds.
Okay, now you're losing all sorts of credibility.
Yeah, it works for the president. With that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dori Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
Okay, does Trump say crazy things? Yeah. Does Joe Biden say crazy things? Yeah.
Number three.
And I think that the behavior of this administration has awakened a whole new generation to get engaged in ways they may not have gotten before. Just like in my generation, when I got out of school, that when Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King had been assassinated in the 70s, late 70s, when I got engaged.
Off by a decade, Joe. Late 60s is when Bobby Kennedy and MLK were assassinated. Not the late 70s. And even his own wife, Jill Biden. This is the most tepid endorsement of a husband in political history.
So, yes, you know, your candidate might be better on, I don't know, health care than Joe is. But you've got to look at who's going to win this election. And maybe you have to swallow a little bit and say, okay, I sort of personally like so-and-so better. But your bottom line has to be that we have to beat Trump.
So she says you might just have to swallow a little bit to vote for Joe. Wasn't that the slogan of a Democrat president a couple decades ago? At number two in our awesome audio, I'm sorry. Chris Cuomo on CNN, he had the most bizarre attack ever on Donald Trump.
Number two.
Is that something that keeps you up at night?
Well, nothing keeps me up at night.
And then he attacked Trump because he hasn't aged enough on the job.
Presidents should have a lot of heavy burdens that weigh on them and, yes, keep them up at night, waiting for that 3 a.m. call, the need that they can't satisfy, the pain that they must work tirelessly to address. Look at how different. Here's a great, great example of this. Look at presidents when they come in and when they leave. I mean, come on. Look at Clinton's hair. Went white. George W. Bush looks like he got a beat down. Obama looks like his own grandfather. I mean, look at it. I mean, this is a very hard job because of the stress that they carry with them. Now, let's look at this president. It's been almost 3 years since Trump won the presidency. It looks exactly the same. I mean, his hair is like, you know, I don't know what's going on with that. But look, he may do things that presidents in the past haven't done to augment their physical reality. But it could also be that he doesn't care the way others have.
Stupid commentary. So, I mean, there are legitimate things you can criticize Trump for, but not aging enough is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. And then, as for the president himself, when he said that he's the one to stand up against China, his comments created all sorts of controversy.
Number one.
Add that to it, and add a lot of other things to it. So somebody, excuse me, somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it.
Oh, he's got a messiah complex, all the critics said. I think he was just goofing around on that one. Okay, those are our favorite sound bites of the week. And today's sign is coming up next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. What a week it was here. Yesterday, we talked to both of the declared GOP challengers to Jay Inslee. We also continued a story that we broke last week, and that was how the King County Sheriff's System has put cops in more danger by removing a database that intra-agencies could use to communicate. It doesn't just put King County sheriff's deputies and detectives at more danger, but it puts all cops in the region. Because if King County's not participating, those cops do not have access to King County information now. It is proof that Mitzi Jo Hanknik cares more about illegals than she cares about the safety of her officers. And that's a damning indictment, and she should resign. But, I mean, that's one of many, many reasons why Mitzi Jo Hanknik should resign as King County Sheriff. We also talked to the finance director in Ellensburg to find out how in the world the city got bilked out of $185,000 by scammers. I had a debate on $30 car tabs with the Northwest Progressive Institute guy because I'm always reaching out to talk to the other side on stories. And we got a lot of great tips from you throughout the week, too. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that as mere prelude, it's time for
today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. I've told you that Jay Inslee does not care about climate change. His actions have proven that as he continued his run for the presidency until he announced yesterday he's getting out, or two nights ago. He cared more about an ego run for the presidency than he did about the carbon footprint that he was leaving, traipsing around the country with 14 state patrol troopers and lieutenants and sergeants. He didn't care about the planet, about the environment. That is very clear with his actions. Barack Obama talked about climate change and what a threat it was. He obviously doesn't care, because word is that President Obama, who's got a mansion in California, another in Chicago, another massive residence in Washington, D.C., that he and his family are now buying a $15 million, 7,000-square-foot beachfront mansion on Martha's Vineyard. Now, look, I don't have a 7,000-square-foot house. I have a big house. And now that our girls are on their own, the house is probably too big for my wife and me, but I love it. I love it. I'm not a hypocrite because I don't preach the evils of climate change, because I don't think that man is not going to be able to adapt to whatever tiny change there is in the next 20 or 50 years. We will adapt, as we always do. So I'm not a hypocrite. The people who say they care about and believe in climate change, if you have four mansions around the country, you do not believe in or care about climate change. You just don't. Jay Inslee would not act the way he does if he truly believed in climate change. And so the hypocrisy of all of these people is so stark, and it's so naked, and it's so apparent, and some people still don't see it. It's just crazy to me. Kind of like Bernie Sanders. He was speaking at Chico State University, and a student asked him about, because Bernie talks all the time about climate change.
You seem adamant about climate change.
Yeah.
Of course. So what ways would you take to practice what you preach if you were to become president? Because I know it's stressful, and you have to travel a lot, and you have to use fossil fuels.
No, I'm not going to walk to California. All right, you know. Look, you know, I understand that. You know, we do the best we can as an example, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're not going to use fossil fuels.
Really? You've told us we need to be free from fossil fuels. Why wouldn't you lead by example? Because apparently you believe that the benefits of industrialization and jet travel and auto travel, you believe that those are greater than whatever ills and evils are caused by them. So they're just all stinking hypocrites. Okay, and finally in today's sign, oh my goodness gracious, a woman has been rescued by firefighters in Estacada, Oregon. She had been trapped in a septic tank for 2 to 3 days.
Trapped in a septic tank with no one around to hear you scream. That's the situation a woman found herself in, possibly for days, outside a rural home about 5 miles northeast of Estacada.
Nobody would have heard up there. Yeah, the neighbors were at least a good, and the next closest house was a couple thousand feet away.
Division Chief Richard Anderson says the woman lives alone. He says the call came Tuesday afternoon from her daughter, who hadn't heard from her mother since Friday.
When daughter didn't hear from her, got concerned and went up to check on her and found her inside of the septic tank. It looks like there was work being done on the septic tank. There was a tractor in the area, and a hole had been dug exposing the tank. And then she had fallen through about a 2-foot by 2-foot hole in kind of the rusted metal top of the tank.
Anderson says to complete the operation, they called in for reinforcements from Clackamas Fire's confined space rescue team.
It requires a lot of additional training, skills, equipment, air monitoring, ventilation, those types of things.
Oh my goodness. Can you imagine? They said that she was laying in the septic tank with her face just inches from the sewage for 2 to 3 days. And at what point, lying in sewage, do you just give up and say, take me now, Lord? Oh, my goodness. That's a horrible story. Okay, and as we wrap things up here. Well, by the way, all of that was today's sign, The End Is Near. I was just listening to this last night. Sting has a new album where he's re-recorded Police and solo songs of his. I always thought Demolition Man would be a good theme for this radio show. Goofing around yesterday, I was talking about running for governor and beating Inslee, but then I really started thinking about it seriously last night. And I got some thinking to do this weekend. I probably wouldn't, just because I love this job so much. But I tell you what, keeping Bob Ferguson out of the governor's office, That's truly frightening. So, I don't know. Somebody's got to save the state, for crying out loud. If I went down to Olympia, I guarantee you I'd be a demolition man there. Okay, I got to get out of here. I got some thinking to do. I've said everything I have to say for this week. Well, go home, think up a bunch of great stuff for Monday's show. By the way, I have a short weekend. I will see you again tomorrow. Seahawks taking on the Chargers. Pregame begins at 5 o'clock right here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. I'll have pregame coverage at 5, and then Steve Ravel's got the play-by-play starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Seahawks football. Hope you can listen for that. I'll see you then, and I will also see you back here Monday, high noon. Conversation is a walking tool. I'm a
free line whip. I'm a sort of thin band. I'm a walking delay. Okay, we'll pick up here next time.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.